I thought what we could do is we can do satsangama, okay? Satsangama, if you want. Satsangama. Nowadays it got shortened to satsang, right? The old word is satsangama. Sat means what? Truth. Sangama came into Greek as synagogue, joining together, coming together. So this is a joining together for truth, which means, you know, I went to Sri Patavi Joyce's school one time and he was doing his satsangama. It was very beautiful. So he just sat around at night with all his students and they asked him questions. So if you have any questions, let's do a little bit. Do you have? If you have any. Yes.
For the present moment meditation.
Yeah.
When you get to the point where you put the wall in front of you, but the future, the one you're looking for the past, should you anchor on something in the present, or do you kind of just let your mind wander around the room? But that would still be something specific. Like, I find that I'm the most successful with it when I just stay anchored with the breath, and I watch where it wanders to, and then bring it back to the breath. I always want to have that as something to bring it back to.
I think that's fine. Did everybody hear the question okay? I think that's fine. I don't know, for me, it's just like it's the milieu of where I am. It's the room that I'm in, you know, or the people I'm with. Like when I'm present, I'm aware of the room, the lights, the camp, the people. And then I know I'm in the present. Only, I don't know, it differs for different people. You'll find a ratio. A certain amount of your thoughts are wandering to the past or future, but a certain amount of your thoughts are wandering in the present. You know, so then you got to deal with those. I think that's what you're getting at. Then you got to deal with those. Yeah, but you'll find that when you cut off the thoughts of past and future, 75% of work is finished, and that's enough to make you feel quite different. You feel like all aware and turned on and excited, and you are able to be here. And, you know, like if you're playing music, or, you know, if you try to play music and you're thinking of something else, if you try to perform music and think of something else, it's like a disaster. And if you learn to bring your mind to the present moment, it feels like you're playing music. And you just feel happy and turned on about everything. So try it between sessions. We're going to get into a thing in this text called Tun and Tun Sam. So Tun, you know from Tundruk, right? Succession. And Tun Sam means between sessions. And the goal of present moment meditation is that you learn it for the Tun. You learn it for the sessions. And then it starts to affect your Tun Sam. It starts to affect how you walk around the camp and how you drive a car and how you talk to somebody. I mean, it's really rare to be totally present when you're talking to somebody. The Dalai Lama has it. People often remark on it, that when you talk to him, he's like, he's there, and he's interested, and he's listening. And that's a nice thing. That's a really good application of the present moment, to be having a conversation with somebody and totally aware of what they're saying. So see how it infects your other activities during the day. And it's a very beautiful state of mind. By the way, traditionally, watching your breath and being in the present moment are considered preliminaries to meditation. They are not goals in themselves. It's a heightened degree of awareness. And then you have to turn that to the larger questions of life. So don't start some sect, Geshe Michael's present moment sect or something, where all you're doing is being here, you know, because then you'll get old and you'll be there, okay? All right, you gotta use it for something, okay? You gotta apply it to something. It's a kind of focus, but it's wonderful. It changes your life. I'm trying to get you to do it for at least for a few months, maybe, like at least 4 to 6 weeks. And it's like medicines. There's some medicines. We were in China, right? We went to Hangzhou. And our host, one of our hosts, was helped at a Chinese medical center. The lady who drove us in the car. She was an assistant at a Chinese medical center. And then we asked her, do young Chinese people take Chinese medicine or do they believe in Western medicine? And she said, Western medicine. And we said, but you're working in a clinic. She says, yeah, I know I work there, but if a young Chinese person gets sick, they just take Western medicine. And I'm like, that's weird. And she said, no, it's not. She said, Chinese medicine, you have to take before you get sick. You know, like when you start to feel something, you start on the Chinese medicine and it's at low dosages and it works in your blood for a month or 6 weeks. And then you don't get sick. But, you know, young people don't care about that. They're not going to eat anything until they get really sick. And then the Chinese medicine won't help. You see? So present moment meditation, if you do it daily, over a month or 6 weeks, it will start to change how you view the world. And if you take less dosage than that, if you skip days, it won't do it. You see, it's interesting. It doesn't work very well. So I think these meditations are more like Chinese medicine. They're not like some Western medicine that kills your liver and cures your cough. Yeah, something like that, okay? Like that works in 3 days and you're like, yay! And then you don't have a liver anymore. So okay. All right. Any other question? How do you change the IQ? Mainly teaching other people. Okay. Mainly teaching other people. So if you know Huang Jian, he took it very seriously. He started diamond cutter programs in 12 cities. He's to Singapore now. He's overseas also. And he took it very seriously. Part of the reason he did it was an exercise in increasing his IQ. And he did. It's very interesting. So that's what he did. But he took it so seriously. I mean, he went and started 12 programs in 12 Chinese cities and Singapore. And then he we would say that changed his IQ. Because he was helping other people understand. But he was doing all the other four steps. He had technique. He understood the technique. He wasn't just blindly helping other people. He was applying these four steps. Okay, if you don't know the four steps, talk to somebody in DCI. Because they were so bored they heard it so many times. Yeah.
So can you talk about the relationship between passion and discipline? And maybe how to remove obstacles for discipline and how to integrate passion and discipline?
I think nowadays I'm onto this thing where so many... We go to so many countries, and I meet thousands of new people every year, and they're very sincere. They're really turned on by it, and they want to know more, you know. And they come to me with, we have a section in the DCI weekend where you spend, 2 hours in a breakout group, hour and a half a day in a breakout group of hopefully 10 people about with a single teacher. And then each person goes around and you listen to each person's, it's either a dream or a problem. You say, give me a dream or give me a problem. What's the biggest thing in your life right now? And some people say, you know, I want a new car. And some people say, my mother committed suicide last week and I'm trying to deal with it. These are real things that I got, you know? And then, you know, the challenge is to ask people to state in a single sentence what they want. That's half the problem. That's half the, what do you call it? Yeah. Challenge. Huh?
Half the battle?
Yeah, half the battle is to get them to say in a single sentence what it is they want. And it's a struggle for a lot of us. We have a vague feeling that we don't have what we want. But then if the Wizard of Oz came along and said, I can give you whatever you want, then you're like, you know, and then, the first idea is to separate the vague desires. You know, do you want discipline or do you want creativity? Because they are separate seeds. They are different seeds. We don't believe that discipline causes creativity. We believe that seeds cause discipline and different seeds cause creativity. And you can be a disciplined, uncreative person or you can be a creative, undisciplined person. Hopefully you'd be both. You'd want to plant both.
Can I choose discipline now?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You got to choose one. And you can think carefully and choose the one which would, I call it fallout. if you succeeded at one, could you get the other one automatically? You see? And that's true. So I would go for it. If someone said you can only pick, what was that game? I don't know. They had three curtains and the woman was queen for a day and she had to say, I want curtain number one. You can't say I want one and two and, you know, say one thing, decide one thing that you want and then work on those seeds. And then there's fallout. Fallout means the discipline will come or whatever else you want will come. Partly because you're finally flowing with the Tao. You're flowing with the flow. You're going with the flow. You finally understood. Dao, Dao, Fei Cheng Dao. Ming, Ming, Fei Cheng Ming. You're finally flowing with the way the world works. You see, if you succeed in gaining one of your goals by planting seeds, by taking care of someone else who wants a similar thing, if you get the system down, then suddenly everything else is easy. You know, to get wish number 2, 3, 4, and 5 is nothing once you get number one by using seeds. Okay. So I would, the thing is, people's desires are so, scattered, that you have to, half the battle is decide what you want the most. Obtain that thing through using this system, the diamond cutter system. And then that will flow over to everything else in your life. Because if you get the thing you most wanted, and I have this experience, this is my own experience, if you get the thing you most wanted in your life by following this system, you will automatically continue to follow the system for other things you want. So pick one. Pick the thing you most want and go for it. It's really nice. It's really cool. Yeah, you can be anything you want, or you can have anything you want. And using this system to get the thing that you most want in the world is the best way you can help other people. And wouldn't that be the case if the system were ultimate, that using it to gain your own wishes is the kindest thing you can do for others? Isn't that cool? That's something extraordinary. That's amazing, you see? Obtaining your own happiness by serving others is the best thing you can do for the world also. So you have your cake and you're constantly having your cake and eating it too. It's an amazing system, you know? By saving the world, you get everything you wanted. And I'm not saying metaphorically. You know, people say, oh, be noble and don't worry if you don't get a car. I don't say that. I say be noble and you will get the car and you'll save the world. And the girl. I mean, it's like Transformers. This nerdy guy, because he wants to save the world, he gets the girl and the Camaro. That's not really a Camaro, right? I mean, it's a cool system. Okay, any other question? Mr. Eddie. I'll tell you something cute, okay? Nowadays, I'm never sure what's being taped for web. But anyway, so I'm not allowed to teach religion in certain countries. But I am allowed to teach success seminars in which I teach people that if you want money, you should help someone else get money, and if you want health, you should help the sick, and then do yoga. And if you want a partner, then you should go to a nursing home and serve an elderly person. Help someone who's lonely, and that will put a seed in you that you will find a partner. Partner, you will create a partner. You know, and then you can tweak the partner. It's cool. You know, you can say, I want handsome, I want smart, I want loyal, I want affectionate, you know, I want considerate, I want a dishwasher, you know, and no, I mean, each thing has its own karmic seeds, really. You can design them consciously, right? If you grasp that system well, including the four steps of the technique, right? She's Sampajora Thakam. If you don't know, you have to ask somebody. She's Sampajora Thakam. If you grasp the system clearly, that is taking refuge. Okay? If you grasp that system clearly, that is what it is to take refuge in it. Okay? What does the word refuge mean? It's a Buddhist ceremony similar to baptism. It's what makes you a Buddhist, okay? You take vows of refuge and you become a Buddhist. That's what makes you a Buddhist. You know, if you want to know if you're a Buddhist or not, have you taken refuge? Then there's a joke in Tibet that a monk was sitting in at Sera one day and he looked up at the abbot and he said, "He ain't a Buddhist. He's not a Buddhist." And that his friend is like, "What are you talking about?" He says, "The abbot's not a Buddhist." And they said, "What do you mean? He's the abbot of Sera." He said, "No, he doesn't have refuge." And they said, no, he has refuge. You know, he has all these pictures of Buddha in his room and he wears Buddhist robes, you know. And they said, that's not refuge. Taking refuge means to shelter yourself, to take care of yourself, right? To go for shelter. Refuge means go for shelter. What's a classic example of refuge? Someone yells at you. Someone called Jeff Eddie, "You're stupid. You know, Jeff Eddy, you did something wrong." Okay? Then, if you've studied these things, you say, "This person's coming from me. I must have made an accusation to someone else in the past. And that's why this person is accusing me wrongly." Okay? So, then I shouldn't attack them. Because that will, what do you call it? Perpetuate the same thing. Like in this system, someone attacks you, it's wrong, they shouldn't attack you. It's false, the accusation is false. And you look at them and you say, "They're coming from me because I attacked someone in the past." Now if I attack them back, what's going to happen? Then another person's going to attack me next week. So I choose to stop the wheel. I choose to get off. That's refuge. Why? You have protected yourself. You just plopped up an umbrella. It's raining and you just did this. That's refuge. That's the meaning of refuge. Refuge is to understand where stuff is coming from. Once you understand where stuff is coming from and you use the seeds to better your life and your world, then you're a Buddhist, okay? They're more Buddhist than all these people in the Buddhist groups in the West who don't understand these things. Okay, it's interesting. It's very interesting. Between refuge and what was the other thing? Yeah, so renunciation. In the highest, to the most intelligent disciples, Lord Buddha said, what's renunciation? Give up the world of suffering. Okay? Does that mean, where is the world of suffering? Is it in Prescott? Or does it extend to Kansas? Does it reach all the way to Manhattan? If you're in, by the way, nowadays if you travel, some people say, "Where are you from?" You don't say America, because nobody likes America. You say, "I'm from Manhattan." And then they say, "Where's that?" You say, "It's an island off the coast of America." And then, renunciation is, to give up pain, right? To give up those things which cause pain. And then all these Buddhist people, they misunderstand it. "Oh, I shouldn't have a nice car, you know, because then I wouldn't have renunciation. You know, I shouldn't have a nice dinner in Guadalajara in this impossible to find restaurant that has the two stories." And what was that place called? Something Durango. They serve Durango food, right? And if I eat there, I don't have renunciation. That's just bullshit. You know, renunciation means stop doing things which hurt you. Just to refuse to answer the person who attacks you is renunciation. To refuse to try to get money by cheating people, to refuse to get a partner by trying to take someone else's partner, that's renunciation. Because you are rejecting this old system. You know, let me compete for my business, or let me compete for my partner, or something like that. Just relax and plant the seeds by serving someone in a nursing home. And the partner will come and they will stay. You see? That's renunciation. I reject the old way of getting a partner, like fighting on the market for a partner. I reject that. That's renunciation. That's a higher renunciation. I reject that old system. Okay? Are you going to the bar tonight to pick up a girl? No. Where are you going to get a girl? The nursing home. No, if... And it's not some new kind of fetish thing, okay? Okay, no, what I'm saying is that... No, you laugh because it seems strange to you. You laugh because you really don't believe it. You wouldn't laugh if you understand. You'd say, of course, that makes sense. Okay. And so renunciation is to reject the old way of getting things that you would like. You know? Yeah, don't they? They come down to very similar things. Renunciation is to reject an old system which hurts you. Refuge is an understanding which protects you from the things you used to do that hurt you. So I guess they're very similar in the end. Refuge is not a ceremony that you take with some lama and they hit you on the head and you're a Buddhist. And renunciation is not this search of things that don't make you pleasant. The search of unpleasant things. The rejection of everything nice. Come on. You know, you can have a nice Mexican dinner. And if you got it through wisdom, then that's a Buddhist practice. And then everybody should have nice dinner. Why not? Okay? Yeah. Per pregunto esta.
Is there a difference between a seed that a normal person plants and a seed that an Arya plants?
Oh, boy. So he's asking about Arya. Arya means, you know, Hitler took the word. It's a Sanskrit word that means superior, higher. And then in Buddhism, an Arya means someone who has perceived direct reality, ultimate reality directly, in a deep state of meditation. Then that person is called an Arya. Yeah, when they plant a seed, it's infinitely different from the seeds that other people plant. It's there's no comparison at all. Because they know, they have a direct experience that this thing works on the highest level. And then that's all. But so what we're talking about is planting seeds through understanding, through intellectual understanding. I talk you into going to the nursing home for your next boyfriend. I talk and talk and talk and talk, and finally you go try. And it works. Okay? And then you do more. But in Arya, they have this, they perceived the guts of that system directly. And in fact, they can't happily engage in any other activity. You see? They can't, like, do the things that normal people do to get things because they just don't believe in them anymore. Because they've seen directly that they don't work. You know, to compete with other companies will get you more money. Or to hurt someone else's relationship would get you a nice boy, or, you know, like that. They just wouldn't. They are getting further and further into a world where they wouldn't consider trying those things because they don't work. Okay, but that's all. Their evolution is much faster. And their world changes much faster. So you got to try to see emptiness directly. Okay, that's it. That's it. The meditation will help. The present moment meditation will help. But also intellectually struggling with these ideas. You know, the nursing home thing. Just the nursing home thing. Struggle with it. And then try it. And then they call Shrawa. You ready? You ready for Shrawa? Here you go. Okay? That's called shrawa. The fabric of reality is torn. You go to the nursing home, you try it, you get a really nice boy, and then shrawa. The fabric of your old reality is forever torn, and you can't go back. You will never go back. Okay. You won't engage in the normal things that people do to get things because they don't work. And you can't go back after that. You know? So the intellectual struggle, which is what classes are all about, triggers the direct perception of reality also. So you have to be struggling through the ideas in classes, and you have to be meditating and doing your yoga. And then and serving people, and serving your teacher, five things maybe. It's a very powerful cocktail, spiritual cocktail. And then you make this breakthrough. You see emptiness directly. Okay? Cool. I'm going to go back to the text because I want to leave that at that. Okay?